Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our slightly unusual service this morning. Thank you, Evan, for reading those verses. I thought it'd be fair to start our time this morning, or my time up here this morning, with a moment of honesty. If it looks like I'm nervous, it might be related to the fact that I'm straight up terrified. The longest I've ever been in a position of public speaking was probably approximately 5 minutes. So I feel rather unqualified to be up here. But I trust with God's grace we can glean something to take home, and please bear with me as I stumble through this morning. The preparation leading up to this morning was good for me in a lot of different ways, but especially the fact that it gave me a small glimpse into what our leadership team, pastoral team, does for our church week after week, so we can show up Sunday mornings and hear from the Word of God. I want to thank especially Vic and Kyle for all their help and tips they shared to help me with my preparation for this morning, and also those of you who shared words of encouragement over the past week, especially the youth group, for encouraging me. Also to the ones who shared this morning to help make the time pass, it would have been a short service had it all been up to me to fill our time here this morning. So I invite you to turn to our text this morning, which is found in Ephesians 2, 1-10, and I ask you to stand in honor of God's word, as is our custom here. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in coming ages he might show us immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You may be seated. The title that I chose for this morning's message is Alive Through the Grace of God. We as humans depend on God's grace for both our physical life and also for our spiritual life. The big idea or theme for this morning's message is not to bring any new ideas or thoughts about for our Christian life, but more to remind us to remember that we as humans, without Jesus' death on the cross and God's grace, are lost. And it is nothing man can do to save ourselves from that condition, but it is God's wonderful plan of salvation and his grace that he shares abundantly to all who heed the call of repentance that can give us eternal life. I did not include them in the text, but I'd like to look at Ephesians 1, 19-23, the verses that come directly before our text this morning. I'll read those at this time. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills in all. These here verses show us the immeasurable greatness and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. This shows us just how weak man is in comparison to God's greatness. We think of some important political people of our time, and if the world sees them as important and influential individuals, these verses, we see just how weak we are compared to God's greatness. And God still has power and dominion over every name that is named, no matter how important the world thinks they are. Now keep those verses in mind. Let's look at the first few verses of our text this morning. Verses 1 to 3 show us just how lost we as humanity are before accepting Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And because man was born in the sinful nature, ever since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, we are all born to death. This sinful condition is the past condition of each one of us as Christians, and the present condition of all who have not heeded the call to repentance and experienced the plan of salvation. Ephesians 4:18, "They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart." Oftentimes, when we as humans, when we struggle, we feel distant from God. We like to blame it on our surroundings, things going on in our life, people that we're forced to deal with. But man's basic struggle is not caused by being out of harmony with any of those things, our heritage, our environment, or even our relationship with fellow human being. The root of our struggle is oftentimes that we remove ourselves from the grace of God through the hardness of our hearts. A short story I found to help us understand a little better the resemblance between spiritual death and physical death goes like this. One day, a young boy came up pounding on my office door. When I opened the door, I saw he was breathless and crying. He said, "Are you the Reverend?" When I answered yes, he said, "Come quick and please hurry." I ran after him for a block or two, and we went into a house. A young woman was standing inside, weeping uncontrollably. She said, "My baby is dead, my baby is dead." Lying on the bed was the limp body of her 3-month-old infant. She had tried to revive him, but nothing she could do proved to be of any help. He showed no signs of life. The mother caressed the baby, kissed it, spoke to it, and cried tears over its little head, but the child had no response. When the ambulance crew arrived, they tried desperately to get the infant breathing, but to no avail. He was dead, and nothing anyone could do could have an effect or bring a response. There was no life to respond, not even to the powerful love of a mother. A mother's love is probably the closest example to the love of our Heavenly Father has for us. But when we are spiritually dead and have blocked out the calling of the Spirit, just like the mother crying over her infant, God's word will have no effect on our lives. Moving on to verse 4 of our text, we have an amazing change of focus. The first two words with "but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us," this is the same powerful God that we looked at in Ephesians 1:19 to 23, far above all rule and authority. First two words of this verse, "but God," point us directly to where the plan of redemption and forgiveness of our sins came from. It's nothing man could do to save ourselves from the lost state we looked at in verses 1 to 3. Salvation was born from the love of our Father has for us, sending his Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so we could be joined together again with him. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 18:23 to 27, the familiar verses of the master forgiving his servant's debt. Verse 23, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt." I believe most of us are familiar with the rest of that verse. It also gives us as Christians homework to do, forgiving others as Christ has forgave us. But I'd like to focus on the first few verses of that parable that we read. God forgiving us as humans. Nothing we could do could deserve God's forgiveness for our sins. But he took pity on us and forgave us all. Then verses 5 to 7 of our text. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated him, us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Here we see again how we were dead in trespasses and sins, but God's perfect plan is that we would seek repentance, and by grace we could be saved and seated with him in heavenly places. Ephesians 4:22-24, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created in the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. This brings us back to the theme for this morning. It shows us clearly the difference between the old life before Christ and the requirement to put off our old selves and to put on our new selves created after the likeness of God. Turn with me to Romans 6:1-4. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died in sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. This ties back to putting off our old self and putting on our new self. We have the call to walk faithfully, not stumbling and turning back to our old selves, but to walk in newness of life and live faithfully in victory. Verses 8 and 9 of our text, here Paul brings out the important point and where us as Christians, maybe especially in the Mennonite circles, can find ourselves trapped. We are saved by grace through faith, not as a result of work. Works will never be enough to buy us the grace of God. Romans 3:20 says, "For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." Here we see once again that works will not justify ourselves. Yes, there is a significance important to works, but first comes grace, and then comes works. If we try to flip those two around, it's a lot like putting the cart in front of the horse, as some would say. We first need to experience the grace of God, and then fulfill the works which he has called us to walk in. Verse 10, the last verse of our text. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Here we see the works come into play once we have accepted the call to repentance and experienced God's grace. Now is when a Christian is called into action, not for our glory, but to be humble servants, growing Christ's kingdom and spreading the glory of God. In closing, I'd like to read Galatians 2, verse 20, puts it nicely. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's all I had for this morning. Shawnee, could we have a song?